And now Portuguese is the language, although we're mostly going to hear the language of music as we head to Brazil. And it's a real pleasure to welcome Jamie Bell, who is an accomplished guitarist, and also with him, Rebecca DiStefano McNeil, who I've known for a while, both of them actually as colleagues here at the Children's Museum, Rebecca longer than Jamie. And they'll play some songs alone and together, and we'll talk a little bit more about their passion for the music that you're about to hear. Right now, it's a pleasure to introduce Jamie Bell. Jamie Bell, that was breathtaking. You know, the guitar by many is described as an orchestra in and of itself, and it really came across that way. When did you start playing, Jamie?
I started playing guitar probably when I was 11 years old, because the Beatles came over and went on Ed Sullivan, and that's when I first got interested in guitar. I was interested in classical music before that, but the Beatles were sort of what inspired me to start playing the guitar, actually.
Now, I think I can't see your guitar. We're only about 8 feet apart. I probably need to get my eyes examined. But the lighting, it's the lighting. It looks like, is that steel string? Or?
No, this is nylon string. Yeah.
It's fine. I assumed it was nylon,
yep.
But then a couple of the strings looked a little thicker, the bass strings.
Yeah, the bottom ones are they're steel-coated nylon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at the bottom ones because I was trying to think how is this possible.
Yeah.
Tell me about the instrument itself.
Okay, this guitar is very utilitarian instrument, although I've had it for many years. In fact, I bought it here in Pittsburgh, I think, in 1976 or something like that. There used to be a shop over in Shadyside called the Music Emporium.
I remember them, and so do a lot of other people listening, I'll bet.
Right, and that was a great shop, actually. They had a lot of acoustic instruments, and this was a Japanese... the Japanese, around that time, started making really good classical guitars, factory-made, but and some handmade. And this was one that at the time was fit the bill for me, so... Yeah, and actually in Brazilian music, a nylon string guitar is not called a guitar. It's actually called a violão.
Huh.
And so they call a guitar, which is a steel string guitar. But in Brazil, they call, and in Portugal, they call a nylon string guitar is actually called a violão.
Do you play steel string as well?
I do.
Are there, certainly they have a different sound and I guess a different technique. Do you prefer one over the other, or do you kind of enjoy both?
I like both. I spend a lot more time playing nylon these days, but it doesn't fit for every style. I think, as you're suggesting, it's, you know, there's a lot of stuff that sounds really good on steel string. And nylon strings, they are a little bit wider, affect your fingers a little differently, but they're a little bit easier to press down also.
Yeah, they sure are. Yeah. I can remember when learning to play the guitar, nylon strings are a lot kinder to one's fingers.
That's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Are you from Pittsburgh originally?
I actually am from West Mifflin, yes.
Oh, yeah. Terrific. We'll get to know Jamie a little bit more throughout the hour. It's 24 after 11. Also with him is Rebecca DiStefano McNeil, who has her clarinet in the ready position. What song did you just play?
Okay. So since we're doing Brazilian music today, the starting point for a lot of people for Brazilian music is Jobim, right? So mm-hmm. Antonio Carlos Jobim. And, you know, lots of famous Jobim tunes, Girl from Ipanema, many people know, and One Note Samba, things like that. That was actually a Jobim tune that's a much lesser known one. It's called Por Causa de Você, which means Because of You, and was recorded by many people. Actually, U.S. artists like Frank Sinatra recorded the song, called it something else. I think he called it Don't Ever Go Away or something like that. But Jobim is such a powerful figure in Brazilian music. In fact, if you ever fly to Rio, you'll know that the airport in Rio is called Antonio Carlos Jobim Airport.
Hmm.
So he's an extremely important figure for Brazil, and he's actually an amazing composer with an output that is vast, that most people don't know many of the songs, but they know a handful that have become popular in this country. So that was by him.
Well, what's next?
Okay, next is... this next tune is from a style of Brazilian music that's not bossa nova, it's not samba. It's called choro or chorinho, and the clarinet and the guitar are often violão, so to say, are often part of this style, as along with some percussion instruments. And this next tune is by a Brazilian composer called Ernesto Nazaré, and the tune is called Brejeiro, and Brejeiro is kind of a Portuguese slang word for... like hillbilly. Thank you.
That was delightful. You know, at once rhythmic and lyrical all at the same time. It's really fun to listen. Did the title of the song have a translation? I may have forgotten.
Oh, yeah. It's just a one-word brasileiro, which means it's kind of if anybody's brasileiro out there listening might correct us on this, but I believe it's like hillbilly. It's kind of like hick.
Okay.
Brasileiro is like a country boy.
Yeah. Okay. It's sort of maybe carefree or it's just a really, really neat sound. How did you discover an attraction to Brazilian music?
Well, for me, I actually went to school here in Pittsburgh many years ago at Carnegie Mellon. And I was a classical guitar major.
We never played the Were We There at the Same Time game, did we?
No.
Because, I was there in the 80s, early 80s. Very early 80s.
Okay.
I graduated in 83, so.
Okay. Well, you were there about 10 years after I was.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Yeah. I need you. somebody that graduated before me. Usually I'm saying that to other people. You were there 10 years after me. Anyway, you were at Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah, no, that's fine. No, it's amazing the number of connections I think about this and being back here now. I studied classical guitar there, and at the time, my first guitar teacher was Irvin Kaufman, who's actually a gentleman who is still in the Pittsburgh Symphony as a cellist. He's an emeritus chair cellist, but he was the guitar teacher then. About halfway through the program, Carnegie Mellon was fortunate enough to bring in a Brazilian guitarist, a very famous one named Carlos Barbosa Lima. And he was actually traveling around the country at the time, touring, and looking for kind of a residency situation. So he in my junior year, came to Carnegie Mellon to teach, and it was a real boost for all of us to have an artist of that stature in Pittsburgh. He was only here for 2 years, but it was a huge influence. And before that, probably like Sergio Mendes. I was always into that kind of music.
Would have, right after the Beatles, with the Brazil 66, and... including some songs that were Beatles songs that they did.
Exactly. They actually did a lot of Beatle covers.
Yeah, I forgot all about that.
And so then I actually had a chance to go to Brazil for the first time in 92 through the work that actually we all do here at the Children's Museum, but I wasn't at the Children's Museum then. I was at a place called the Exploratorium in San Francisco. Mm. And we had a partnership with a small museum in Brazil called Espaço Ciência Viva, and that was based on the Exploratorium. And so then I actually was able to, you know, hear Brazilian music in its context for the first time. So,
Rebecca, I wanted to be sure we get to know you too, Rebecca DiStefano McNeil. You and I have known each other for a while. I didn't know you played clarinet. Tell me a little bit about the instrument in your life.
Well, I started, I guess, in sixth grade, you know, when most kids start learning an instrument, took band, and then ended up at the University of Michigan, got a degree in clarinet performance there.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, after I finished that degree, I kind of took a little break until about 3 months ago when Jamie said to me, oh, I heard you play the clarinet.
Which is necessary for a churro, right? A clarinet is part of
yes,
the style.
Yeah.
I was looking at the album, which we'll try to play from. Yeah. There's an album with Mike Marshall, of all people, and a group called the Churro Famoso?
Churro Famoso, yeah.
And Jamie plays on it. So have you played clarinet seriously much? Is this sort of a resurrection of playing again?
This is a resurrection of playing. I happened to be wanting to start playing again at about the same time that Jamie said that, said that he heard that I played the clarinet and asked if I'd ever heard of the Brazilian choro music, which I hadn't. So I'm actually really grateful that he introduced me to it because I'm really enjoying it.
Well, that's terrific. And, you know, I know Rebecca, and normally we don't talk necessarily about what people do for a living, but I know you as a finance person, so I'm startled that you have a degree in performance. It's just something I never knew about you. How did you Did you eventually, you know, study accounting afterwards, or sort of?
Well, I always enjoyed both accounting and music, and uh-huh. I could never really decide between them. So when I went to the University of Michigan, I wanted to major in both accounting and music, but the accounting program wouldn't let you do a double major.
My goodness.
The music program would. So I ended up double majoring in music and economics.
I see.
And then ended up at Carnegie Mellon in the arts management program, and then went on from there with a CPA certificate, and just I really enjoy accounting for nonprofits. And now I can do both. I can do what I love as far as accounting goes and also play music. So.
And when were you at Carnegie Mellon?
Oh, I graduated in 98.
Okay, see, that's what I'm used to, Jamie, is when I...
Well, we have 3 decades.
Yeah, 3 decades of tartan coverage here. Well, you know, and it's neat. There are a lot of people that are very technical or analytical or mathematical who also excel at music or things artistic, and it's always neat to meet people that fall into that category. What would you all like to do next?
Well, we're going to do another Shoros, a much different character than the first one, so you can sort of see the range of the kind of within the style. And this is just a little ballad. It's called Shoro Negro, and in this case, Shoro Negro would mean like a dark Shoro. So it's you'll see in terms of the feeling and the key. It's by Paulinho da Viola, and he's a very famous samba composer. Actually, hasn't written that many choros, but written a few. And he's really associated with in Brazil there are many samba schools, of course, who come out at Carnival every year, and he's really associated with a school called Portela, which is they've recorded a lot with Marisa Monchi and him, and their colors are blue and white, and so anyway, this is by Paulinho da Viola, and it's called Choro Negro.
Again, Jamie Bell and Rebecca DiStefano McNeil. Saturday Light Brigade and Jamie Bell along with Rebecca DiStefano McNeil. You know, I work alongside Jamie and Rebecca, not as closely as I'd like to, but I see them just about every day, or at least once a week. And there might be people that you work with that have talent that you might have no idea that they have. I mean, I have never heard Jamie and Rebecca until this morning, and it's just terrific, and it's really a reminder of the talent that may be in your midst without your knowing it, and of the importance of providing opportunities and of sharing what you have with other folks so that they'll share with you. It's really makes for a great community. Listening to both of you play is just it's delightful for so many reasons. On its surface and talking about the music and thinking about it, but also just thinking about how great it is to share things that, you know, others, who knew, you know, and it's really, it's great when that comes about. I want to be sure that I'm trying to remember if you have a few other songs prepared. I think you do,
yeah,
right? And and also, when you're ready, if you need to take a break, we can take a listen to the Mike Marshall CD that you mentioned. So just let me know.
Okay.
I will let you know that it's 19 minutes before noon. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you for doing that. And live music on the Saturday Light Brigade comes your way with help from Greater Pittsburgh Arts Council and Pennsylvania Partners in the Arts. I see Rebecca's daughter waving and saying hello. And up, she ran away. She heard me. Peekaboo. How old is she now?
She's 4.
Gosh, she's a big 4. She's growing. Bye, Rebecca. That was you. Up, oh, there she is. She knows exactly where to stand, so you can see her, and I can't. What's next, Jamie?
I thought maybe I'd play a piece, another Brazilian composer that people tend to be an entry point for, who tends to be an entry point for people in the U.S. is Villa-Lobos. And he wrote a number of preludes for guitar, and this is the first one. One of the first things I learned when I was a student back at Carnegie Mellon. Thank you.
That's Jamie Bell at the Saturday Light Brigade. Do you know offhand what the time signature of that song was?
It's
really unusual.
It has two sections, and you know I've been so internalized that written music that I haven't looked at it probably for like 25 years.
It's okay. I don't think I've ever asked anybody that question. Yeah. It's partly on my mind because. Very early this morning, we were talking about the song Money by Pink Floyd, which was in 7/4 time. I don't know if either of you knew that. I do now. I didn't before then. That song had a very interesting rhythm to it that seemed – part of it I think was in 3/4 and part in 4/4.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter when it gets right down to it. But I was trying to go through it as I listened.
That's a good point. I would be stretching to try to, like, remember right now what it was. But you're right about – it's very interesting. Actually, not so many popular songs in 7. But I think about that sometimes. I heard a song by Sting the other day, which you might know. It's called Straight to My Heart.
Sure.
I don't know if it was that's in 7.
Huh.
And it's, you know, not too many songs in 7 make it to the hit parade, as it were, but at least in the U.S. there are some, and I didn't realize that about Money, but now that you think of it, I can, you know, as you mentioned, I can sort of picture.
Yeah, it oscillates. It goes to 4 and then back to 7, and you know, and you could tell drums was one of the instruments I learned, so I think about that kind of stuff a little bit. Rebecca, I meant to ask you where you grew up. Was it here in Pittsburgh or in Michigan or somewhere else?
No, we moved around a lot.
It's got to be one of those two, only Pittsburgh or Michigan.
No, I lived in Michigan, Illinois, Idaho, ended up in Pittsburgh. I've been in Pittsburgh now for, I guess, 14 years, which is the longest I've ever lived anywhere.
Wow. So. And I guess your family just... Your mom or dad had different places to go growing up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's good that you're both here. We probably have time, for one more song, at least one more live song.
Okay.
Would you like to do one more? I want to be sure also I don't have a sense of how tiring or how exhausting it is to play.
One more live song would be fine.
Great.
And
we can maybe take a listen I think you. One of the reasons you brought the CD down was to hear sort of a fully orchestrated version for educational purposes. I meant to also mention, just as you are listening, you might be wondering a little bit about Jamie and Rebecca. It's as if Jamie's fingers were made to play this instrument. I don't know whether your fingers have evolved. I mean, Jamie's got these long, nimble fingers as he plays. It's really fun to watch you play.
Thanks.
What are you about to play?
Okay. It's funny you say about the fingers because you think about Segovia. You remember that?
Yeah.
His fingers weren't so weren't so long and nimble, but he was an amazing player. I'm going to play... this is a tune. It's on a... It's actually an Afro-Cuban original derivation, but done by several Brazilian artists, including Caetano Veloso. And it's a lullaby, actually, and it's called Drumming Negrita.
Jamie Bell and Rebecca DiStefano McNeil, thank you. One more quick question. Can anybody hear you playing out? Are you playing anywhere?
Well, we haven't been approached by anybody yet.
Well, that may happen after today. And if you want to approach them, you can approach them through SLB because we can easily get you in touch with them. Thank you for being here with us today.